Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Pete, I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom. Yes, sir, I'm Cuban Pete. I'm the craze of my naked street. When I start to dance, everything goes chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
That's right, it's your other boy. Here's another edition of the Real Ass Podcast, Sam's Lewis. And you know what that means. It's the bye, guys.
Hey, 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 we're gay, gay.
That's right, Zach and Ian all up in your ears with their dicks.
That's right, yeah.
And we are joined by one of my favorite people in the world.
Yes,
Dave Temple. How you doing, Davey?
I'm all right, man. How you guys doing?
Feeling good. You like the energy we bring?
Yeah, man. That reminds me of... Please tell me that song doesn't remind you of Tommy Too Smooth.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Tommy Too Smooth. Tommy 20 personalities.
Yeah.
Dude, there's this black comic in Philly named Tommy Too Smooth.
That would a do black these. Comic in Philly? Hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
Slower.
Tommy T-O-O-S-M-O-O-V.
S-M-O-O-V.
Yep. And he would do these different characters. And one of what was his, like, Cuban?
One was a Cuban.
No, it was, like, Dominican.
Well, he did all that. I'm the Puerto Rican Latin lover with the bouncy hat. Yeah, Felicio Fernandez, fuck that. That was the character. And he would come out.
Fuck that. And this that was his
mariachi thing with his chest out. And he had a wig that he would, every punchline was, fuck that.
Fuck that.
He would shake the wig at you. And it was so fun. It was so fun to watch. Dude.
Would he do multiple characters?
Oh,
in one
my.
Set?
He would, no. He would book himself to feature guest spot and headline, and he would change and, like, let the host do a few
this
minutes.
This is one of his characters where he was, like, a grandma.
Yeah.
And I screenshot it because it looked like Monroe.
And almost every character involved that wig.
Yeah. And, dude, he would carry his little suitcase around, and then he'd book you on a gig for, like, all this money, and then, you know, cancel the gig in Jersey at the last second. You're like,
that's
okay.
That's the way to do it, baby.
Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah. But, Cuban Pete.
Yep.
Is there anything sadder than watching a comic with a trunk full of shit to bring on stage?
Oh, God. That reminds me of the WID.
I opened for, God damn it, I always forget this guy's name, Chi-Chi from Scarface.
Okay.
Wait, is that Angel Salazar?
Yes.
A little guy?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And first of all, he's a million years old.
Yeah.
He is ancient.
And now he looks like a little lesbian in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That
he's a tiny little Spanish man. His act literally had pre-written crowd work in it.
Yes.
And he goes, and then I'm talking to the black guy over here.
Yeah.
And he looks, and there's no black guy in the room because we're in a hotel in New Jersey because my career's great right now.
Oh, yeah.
This is recently?
This is not that long
ago. Oh, no.
This is like within the last 2 years.
Oh, God.
And we're in a hotel jersey. There are no black people there. It's all like 50-year-old white people. And he goes, and then the black guy over here, he's like, I got a big dick. And then he's like, I ain't got a black guy. And then he looks and he just points away. He goes, all right, tonight, you the black guy.
Oh, my God.
And then continued with that running bit. And he goes, and then the black guy over here is like, yo.
Oh, that's incredible.
That act was honed in a wall-to-wall mirror.
And then
home.
The end was, okay, have you ever seen John Panette do We Are the World?
No.
Not John Panette. Kevin Meaney, excuse me. Kevin Meaney used to end his act by doing We Are the World, but he would have... like 100 pairs of sunglasses in his jacket and switch glasses for each person singing.
Yes. Yes.
Angel Salazar does something like that, but he brings a boombox on stage and has a suitcase full of changes, and it ends up with him just in tighty whities. But his act outs would be like, you know, it would be him shaking his ass in jeans, and then he would turn to the crowd and go, "Is that Bruce Springsteen?"
Oh my God.
And then he put on a wig and like would dance, and he'd go, "He's Boy George." Like he would just tell people who it is in between each one.
Amazing. I loved it. I used to always love anyone who did the turnaround and then back. Like, all right, here's my impression.
Bob Nelson used to do that. Remember Bob Nelson?
Yes, with
he
the football
would blow
gear.
Up the balloons and put them in his shoulder pads, and he'd be like a football player that didn't wear a helmet. Remember?
Oh my
he'd
God.
Like turn around and do a thing. Dude, Tommy Tuismove had one of the best like slams. Some guy kept like heckling him, and he was like, "Your teeth so fucked up, you look like you bite an apple and look like a map."
That's funny. Because
it's all over the place.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I really loved it in
that's
2011.
We didn't
love it as much.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I don't know why. It crushed the room. It crushed it. He filmed something at the Laugh House, and I had to host for it, and I had to like bring him up, and I died such a death. In front of like bringing, I tried to like do some jokes and it just was not working. And I had to resort to being like, "All right, guys, I know you don't like me, but you're really gonna like Tommy. And he's here all the way from New Jersey, so please." And they put that in like the recording Jesus for his intro. Christ. It was like, it was so fucking horrible.
I never understood that when comics address the fact that they're not liked, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, or like at least addressing it like politely. Like, "All right, guys, I know you guys don't like me, but you know what I mean? It's like almost if they don't like you, fuck it. Double down. Don't like them back."
It's an insecurity thing.
Well, okay. Like, if he's bringing them up for a taping, you do want to have the crowd be as happy as possible.
Yeah, and I didn't have the skill set to just turn it into funny, so I literally had to break down the fourth wall and be like, "Look, here's the deal."
Yeah.
You know, well, that's so embarrassing.
Thank God that's gone, right?
I don't know where that is.
It's gone now. Because I remember now, that was funny.
Laugh House Vault.
One of my last times working with you was at the Chris Cotton benefit at New York Comedy Club, and did not like those two people, and let them know, even though they were like 20% of our audience. He was like, "You guys can get the fuck out of here."
I walked two people within 3 minutes of my set, and there were seven people
at a benefit.
In the crowd, at a benefit for our dead friend.
With seven people in the crowd.
With seven, and then it went down to five.
And like, they weren't even off to the side. They were
dead
set,
but they were so shitty, weren't they?
Yeah, I guess
they got
so.
Monroe was hosting. They got in an argument with Monroe during his hosting set, and they were talking, and I just like lost my shit, and I was like, "If you don't want to be here, the door's that way. Get the fuck out." And they just, I was like, "This is for our dead friend that you don't even know." And they were like, "Okay," and they got up and left, and it made the show better.
I don't think the comics were willing to admit that we were just all emotional and off our A game, because Monroe had walked two people while hosting.
Yeah.
Also. So everybody.
It was a disaster to start with. It was just such a disaster.
So you're saying a fitting tribute to Chris Cotton.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, this is the greatest thing in the world to have this is like the going out blast for Chris.
Yeah, man. Everybody was just there.
That's right. I totally forgot about that. I had fun, though.
It was
fucking decimating them and then like making everyone else laugh at how shitty they were.
Yeah, it was, you know? It was fun, but it was a weird night.
It was so weird, dude. There were more comics there than there were audience members.
Once I walked two ladies twice in one night.
What? How does that happen?
Old LOL that had the two showrooms.
Oh my God.
I did a show in one room. Bombed. By the way, no one did worse at LOL than me. I will take that to the grave. My snarky bullshit.
Oh my God.
For a room full of fucking hood people. Oh.
Jesus Christ. Midwesterners thinking they're going to see Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, Bronx blacks thinking they're going to see Kevin Hart do an hour. And then this fucking juggalo comes up.
Bisexual cat juggalo.
Yeah.
And
with a scar on his forehead from getting hit with a steel chair.
And I was
like,
bummed.
What?
And I went up. And I bombed in the one room horrendously. And these two big black ladies get up, walk out. And I found out later, they go to the front desk. They went, "Hey, we want to see more show. Can we go to the other show? We just don't want to see him."
Oh, my God.
So I do 10 in there, bomb.
And then fucking Ripley's Believe It or Not comes back up on stage.
I walk off. And then they go, hey, we need you to go up in the other room.
Oh, my God.
Those two ladies are in the front row of the other room now.
Oh, my God.
I start the exact same act. And they just fucking walk out.
Dude, LOL's the only club that I've ever worked where they've made me host or stretch a host set to 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Because no one else is there.
They used to do that with the check spots, too. Remember they were really bad at getting checks done? So like,
oh, dude, yeah, I did like 20-minute check spots there.
You were getting guys, like, I remember, like, Dominic Leonelli was, like, fresh off the bus from Cleveland, and he's doing 35 minutes, like, you know, on a check spot, because they just would not.
Dominic's up there, he's like, man, you know what it is? It's like, I think I'm retarded. They're like, ah.
Dude, after 3 months at LOL, Robbie Bernstein went from an open micer to an old grizzled comic with a fucking cigar.
Oh, my God.
Because he had done 800 hours of stand-up doing checks there.
That's so funny.
I got my nose broken fighting hecklers at that goddamn club.
Was that the guy that called Cotton?
Biz Markie.
Nuh-uh.
I fucking...
Wait, what happened?
I know this story.
Chris Cotton.
Wait, is that why your nose is so flat?
No, I think it's just...
Genetics.
But fucking... Chris is hosting the show, and like you said, it's middle America white guys. Yeah. And then
totally
just
clueless,
weird hood black guys that just kind of got roped in.
Yeah, from like Sheepshead Bay that are
these
in
guys
like Times
from
Square for
Staten
some
Island.
Yeah,
so,
oh,
so
God.
It's hood black guys without street smart to not have gone to something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But the Venn diagram is just the middle is completely out of touch.
Right.
Like no matter who like you were or where you're from, they're just totally
the
not into anything that's there.
The Venn diagram is people who literally did not think, hey, I should check out my phone and make sure this is a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're
well, most of them didn't have chargers, and people were charging $80 for chargers in Times Square. I remember once I needed to buy a charger while doing PA work.
Right.
And I went to a store in Times Square, and it was, I thought he said $7.99. It was $79.99 for a charger.
Dude, I have finagled my way down at charger places before. Because if they're Indian, you can finagle them if you got cash. And nothing makes me feel better than fucking knocking them down on price and getting like an $80 charger for $30.
There you go. Continuing to prove he's not Jewish. Woo!
It feels so good. Oh, God, I love a discount.
Dave's going to love my finagling story. I talked down the price of a gallon of hot sauce.
What?
From 40 to 6.
Why are you buying a gallon of hot sauce?
Because I like marinating stuff in it.
Because he was going to the LOL Christmas party.
Yeah. That was the punch bowl.
They don't have, Jesus Christ, they don't have those over there, do they?
They had a party for jazz in like one of the closed stand-up rooms, and nice. It was like a small chocolate cake. Nice. And, ooh, boy. So wait, what happened when you got your nose broke?
Oh, yeah. So the comics are, you know, the comics are just out of... No, the audience members are out of line. So Chris Cotton, rest in peace. He's hosting a goddamn show.
Hold on, let me pause for a second. For people that are new to the show or whatever, we trash LOL. It's in a new location now. When it first opened, it was straight up a dance recital space.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So it would be a mirrored wall for dance class. They would put a curtain over that,
and like a little apple,
a tiny
box
little
for you to
stage,
stand on.
And a little amp with a mic. And they would bring in chairs. It looked like a classroom.
And they had other rooms. What it used to be, I think, was like an old strip club.
Yes.
Well, they were doing rehearsals there. Like, if you did the early shows, it still smelled like sweaty ballerinas.
Yeah, they would be doing rehearsals.
And
sometimes
there
were such
hot guy dancers in there.
You'd be in like this weird like theater room, like a black box theater.
Yeah, and one was like a long black box theater. The other was like a wide room with a loud air conditioner and a window. And I was on stage one time and there was a shooting in Times Square and people got up to look out the window. And I was like, but my grandmother.
And it was a complete tourist trap. People pay a lot of money. And it's what you hear when people say, oh, I heard Jim Carrey, Tina Fey, et cetera.
Yes, and the guys on the street are one step away from selling a blank mixtape. Like, there are those type of guys that just like, oh, it's, you know, we have, oh, my God, you will never guess. Jerry Seinfeld is doing 7 hours. and Louis C.K. is working on his one-man rape show, and everyone's like, "Ooh, let's go."
Like, what I remember, what, and it was not only that, it was the fourth floor of a building.
Yes.
Which, if you have to get into
and
an elevator.
And the third floor was a haunted house.
Yes.
Yes.
If you have to get into an elevator to see comedy, don't go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never.
If that's your only means of going
to the show. Higher up. In the building.
Yes.
It should be the first floor or the basement.
And you
well,
and you
the comedy
were...
house is on like the fifth floor of the mall.
Yeah, if it's in a mall, you
yeah,
know
well,
what
that's,
I mean?
That's
but,
an exception.
Like, in a fucking office space building in Times Square,
yeah.
where you have to ride the elevator with someone dressed up like a zombie to clock in at their Halloween job
yeah,
in fucking
yeah.
February.
Yeah.
By but... the way, that haunted house closed because of bed bugs.
What?
Yeah, I had two friends who work security there. And they would also make them work security at Show World. The porn store underneath.
Oh, yeah.
And because my buddy was working security there, so he worked security at Show World. And he found out security at Show World, one of your jobs, was liaison for a crack dealer.
Whoa.
And it was your job to make sure he had change from the guy at Show World.
Jeez.
Anyway. And it was just a total nightmare. Like, one time Mike Lawrence was headlining, quote unquote. It's the only club I've ever heard of that reduced their pay over time. So you're headlining... Christ. You would make $25.
LOL is the only club in the world where Bill Burr showed up, tried to get on stage, and they were like, sorry, we don't know who you are. And we're not letting you on stage.
Because it's all about who you reject, baby. Yeah, that's how you become an Ivy League comedy club.
I've elbowed the manager in a fight with an audience member.
Really?
And so back to your story. What happened?
Right.
Oh, look who it is. Fucking
all right. Figs. Mikey Figs just joined us.
Fucking
no worries,
Van Cortlandt Park Figs.
Someone had to be late, am I right?
Yeah.
All right, now it's the show I wanted. Two bi guys, a Figs and a Dave.
Figs and a Dave. Figs and a Dave. What's happening, baby? How you doing?
Crazy story. Man, at least I got a story out of this.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Dave, finish your thing.
Punch it up
and
in your head.
Okay, all right.
Let's fucking Dave's.
We got a lot of time to kill.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, great. 16 minutes. Okay.
So
it's 60 minutes after the 15 minutes we already waited for you. Continue, Dave.
I didn't even know we were waiting for this guy. That's funny. Yeah. All right, so
I got somewhere to be.
Chris is hosting the show.
I have to audition to play a gay ghost. Anyway, I swear to God. I have to play a closeted gay ghost for a fucking pilot. So can we hurry this up?
You know you can say no to things, Ian. Right?
No, it's CBS. I gotta get it. I gotta make my mark as the world's frontier gay ghost. See? I say things like, we know Thor. Oh, yeah. One of the lines is, and Thor, of course, does that fun thing with the electrics.
Because how did that happen?
I could play a ghost from the Civil War.
How did gay people adopt the lisp?
Maybe you're born with it. Maybe it's an affectation.
I think it's nature.
Nature?
I think it's done with your palate.
I think it's because everyone's a gay little boy when they're younger, and then they just
never grow out
people.
Of it.
Yeah. Like, you didn't have, like, a lisp or, like, feminine tendencies when you were younger?
Probably.
You just come out the pussy always riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, just all
I mean,
man.
I sat down to pee. I sat down to pee for a long time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I started standing up, like, in the sixth grade.
Yeah, I think I sat down for the pee.
I also got a small piece.
Sitting down to pee feels great in the middle of the night. That's when it's a good time.
Oh, dude, Sit down to pee because you don't have to turn the lights on.
Yes.
And wake yourself up.
Yes.
I cannot insert myself in the conversation.
You never sat to pee?
No, because you would be big
old dick with dump in the water.
Yeah, it is hard.
You get a UTI from dipping in the toilet water.
It's hard to stick my dick in the bowl because I'm always like a little bit
hard.
Yeah, like a little bit. Like not full.
Hard all the time, Temple.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
If Dave flushes while his dick's in the water, it's like when they put the snake in the bowl. They get your Dominican super to come down and pry Dave's dick out. All right, finish the LOL fight story.
We can't get the toilet.
So Chris is on stage. He's hosting. He brings up Chris Scopo. Chris Scopo struggles to get through his set because these Staten Island guys are just giving him hell.
Yeah.
Hell. Like, I remember at one point he goes, all right, I'll finish up with this. And it's just like, no, just leave now. Like,
oh,
it's
my
that,
God.
They were doing that through his entire set.
LOL has never had security.
No security at all.
No security ever.
Actually, so they had a janitor who had a badge that he would put on when there was bad fights. Like, if there was, like, a multi-person fight, they would put a badge on the janitor to try and scare black people away.
Dude, I worked there. Because
the police would not come for him.
No.
He called the cops so much
right,
for
yes.
people not paying their ridiculous checks that the cops begin to be like, look, dude, we're not coming.
You know? Dude, Roy would straight up, I worked there for years, and when I used to MC there, he would introduce me on stage. We'd known each other for so long. He'd go, please give a warm LOL welcome to your host for the evening, Einen Feindanz. Roy, my name's fucking Ian.
Einen
Feindanz.
Einen.
Like, Roy, you fucking boa-wearing queer. Get my name right, all right? No, God, blow me in the back while you give me my check.
I stole so much liquor from that man. Dave, continue.
All right, okay.
No wonder he's the way he is.
Okay. I know, that poor man. We all just shit on him, and all he's doing is trying to rip
just
us off.
To run a, just trying to run a business.
Just trying to sell $16 Bud Lights like every other good honest business, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's just trying to get people to decrepit, haunted strip club in Times Square on a bunch of lies. Can't we help this guy out? Okay, so
No security.
Chris Scopo.
They're out of control with Chris Scopo.
This is Scopo's demo, though. I'm surprised. Like, Scopo does well with the fucking Long Island, Staten Island trash.
These were blacks that were angry.
You forgot that? Yeah. I didn't hear
part. These were human Timberlands.
Sorry.
Yeah, these are blacks who were told.
These are the guys who fuck with their Yankee hat on.
and just white socks.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
So, Chris Cotton goes back on stage after Chris's set, and he attempts to defuse the situation.
Uh-huh.
And the only format that my boy Chris could do, he goes, hey, y'all gonna have to chill out, man. Like, I get it. Y'all from a bad neighborhood. Y'all never been nowhere. I'm from a bad neighborhood, too. I'm from South Philly. I fuck both y'all up, all right? So shut the fuck up. It's just
God. And so what happened?
Then he brought Rosebud up.
Oh, my God.
To deal with that tension. So we get through the show, right? The last comic is going up. It's Gino Bisconte. They're hip. Oh,
hey!
Kevin Hart's not going to be here, right? So they're
hey,
like,
faggot! And now they've got racist faggot? Tony Robbins.
They didn't even see Gino.
Uh-huh.
When he announced this is your final comic.
So there was a good part of the story.
Yeah.
And this
ended up a good show.
They're key to leave. Like, they're paying their check. They're ready to go.
Right.
So, you know, now they're upset about the check. They pull these guys outside the showroom so that, you know, they're not disturbing the rest of the set. And, you know, as Chris is walking out after bringing up Gino, they yell to him. Like, yeah, man, fuck you, you Biz Markie looking motherfucker. And he's like, all right, you know, y'all was disturbing the show, you know. So these guys are trying to get out of paying a check.
Right,
so now it's and I should fuck you up for that shit, you know, because you disrespected us in front of our ladies.
Right, oh, yeah, right.
So, you know, they began to go towards Chris. And the way the showroom was, you had to come out of one showroom and get past these guys to get to where the green room was.
That's right, with that little hallway.
Right.
Yes.
So Chris is trying to get by them, but now they're kind of, you know, surrounding him. So he ends up punching the one guy in the face, and he comes into the green room where I am.
Chris threw the first punch?
Yeah, Chris threw the first punch. We can say that now because, you know, all the charges, everything have been dropped.
But Chris, including Chris.
He got that air.
Jesus Christ. You know what's funny? When Ari got in trouble for all of the Kobe shit, and it was one of those situations where I was totally aware, like, no, that is Ari. When we did the steak dinner thing,
yeah,
I sat down at the table, and Dan Soder immediately goes, like, hey, man, sorry to hear about Chris Cotton, man. And Ari goes, what happened to Chris? And I go, oh, Chris, he passed away a couple weeks ago. And he goes, oh, some sort of a fucking fat-related disease. Like, he immediately went for the fucked-up joke. Yeah. And it was just awesome. Oh, God. Like, yeah, that's all right. You got to deal with that. And that's Zach also. No. But,
he meant dying of a fat-related disease.
But, like, the,
So Chris
punched the guy and came running into the green room to get back up because these guys are now on his heels, right? Yeah.
I did that in sixth grade. I punched a bully in the back of the head and then ran and hid behind the gym teacher. That was my backup.
So I'm putting my coat on, like, you know, because I'm just finished. I'm ready to leave. It's the last show of the night. It's the 11:45 show. We're ready to get the fuck out of here. Chris comes in the green room like, yo, and all these guys are piling in behind him, and you can hear the ladies, why'd you hit him? And you go, like, what the fuck?
Wait, why'd he just hit the guy?
Because they were closing in on him. They were closing in, and he, you know, they got too close to
him. Fight or flight.
Right.
Yes.
So he came in, he got the backup. We basically communicated non-verbally, like, oh, you punch these. Okay, okay, yes. We're in this.
We spoke Wakandan. Right. You too.
And then we all had it. Chris punched the guy again, and we all just went nuts. And
so it was just a melee.
Yeah, and I punched the guy that I was fighting in the eye where he stopped for a second,
uh-huh.
And then his girl began throwing punches at me from the side.
Oh!
And when I was trying to deflect the girl's punches, no. He picked up one of the folding chairs and gave me a good whack.
Like, wow.
Right across the face there, and that my nose was shifted.
Jesus!
Up underneath my left
Zach,
eye.
I hope you're writing this down. This sounds like the next fucking AEW event or whatever the fuck. Right. Capital Wrestling.
So
pay-per-view.
Here's the best thing about it is Gino is now Gino's
hate crime.
Gino's you know, Gino's on his closer right about now, and we're all in the green room just brawling.
You just
right?
hear Gino in the distance spelling out whore. Yeah.
You don't wink at a whore, princess. Yeah. The Jews are in the atmosphere. Yeah.
The cops come, they break everything up, we're all cuffed, we're all sitting, we're all going to jail. God. They have to call Roy. So that Roy,
what night of the week was this?
It was a weekday. It was like a Tuesday or something.
So you wouldn't
like that.
Have to spend the weekend in jail.
Well, yeah, I'm sitting here bleeding all over myself,
my
right?
God,
my shirt is a work of modern art right now.
Oh, my God, Dave.
And when Gino finally ends the show, I guess he's done about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
He just ends it, comes in and sees me, Chris, and these other guys in cuffs. And they're waiting on, but Gino,
what
a true
a
Gino form,
sight.
Gino goes... he gets his bag and he goes, I'll see you guys later. Like, he doesn't even address what's going on. Like, no one came to light you. You ended the show. The previous comic and the host are in cuffs and my nose is shifted and bleeding and he just gets his coat and just leaves.
And he's doing voice to text on his phone like he always does.
And then
putting smiley emoji.
But Roy Roy had to come down from his house to open up the security camera and let them see the tape because they were trying to press charges, you know, basically saying like, hey, like Chris threw the first punch.
Mm-hmm.
We were all going to jail, but they were trying to explain like these guys work here. They're supposed to be here. These mm-hmm. guys aren't supposed to be in the green room. And
wait, I can't tell the difference between any of these four men.
I know.
Roy, back it up.
Roy had no idea who we were. I'm pretty sure Roy had no idea which ones were his.
He tries to make you pay your check.
Yeah.
I don't have a check. It's like, I've heard this one before.
I think that's what it ended up being. I think they went to jail for like not paying a check. I know me and Chris got released. And
how long were you in jail?
No, we didn't go to jail. Me and Chris ended up, the cuffs were taken off of us there, and I was let go to a hospital. But
damn.
Yeah,
what happened to your nose? That must have been such a fucking ordeal.
We went to Mount Sinai on 49th Street.
Ugh.
Came right into emergency. So my trick is always going to be here, take my wallet, everything. I have no ID, but I'm coming in emergency bleeding. They have
That's
to take you in.
That's an old temple trick.
They have to take you in.
Seen that a couple times.
They're like, we can. Oh, yeah, you did see that. Yeah, uh-huh. You have seen that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Been in the hospital with these motherfuckers.
Yeah, we know how to get shit done.
Uh-huh.
So I'm
you know how they say the white guy in the group of black guys is the one to be kind of afraid of? The more when I hear Ian tell these stories, I'm like, oh yeah, Ian's crazy.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Ian's been around for some shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but we went to Mount Sinai.
Because when I'm hanging out with the brothers, I'll either fight you or fuck you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I still can't believe he's pegging black dudes.
But you have a girlfriend though.
I'm kind of like dating.
Yeah. You know. Oh, that's awesome. Right. Just everything.
So you go to Mount Sinai.
Sorry.
Yeah, they could, like, they were trying to get a surgeon or somebody down there and nobody would come. So they were like, go to our sister location up in Harlem tomorrow. So, like, I had to go home.
All
on
black.
The train.
And they just the sister location.
What happened to you, baby? What's the matter, baby?
What happened? Oh. Come here, sugar.
He's a Robert Tuffin, baby. Take a look at that. Take a look at Tuffin.
So they're like, so I had to go home that night.
You had to go home with a broken nose.
With a broken nose.
Still bleeding. They did nothing
bleeding.
To help you.
I just jammed a bunch of tissue in it. I
Do
slept.
You think they gave you the runaround because you were
they
an
knew
unidentifiable man?
Yeah, they knew. They knew. They totally knew what I was up to. And they were just
so
trying
they,
to pass it off to someone else. So, yeah, because I didn't even have an appointment. Mm-hmm. Like, they just told me where to go. So, like, I show up the next day. I have to get on a train.
Oh, you must have been so much pain.
Yeah, because I'm broke as shit at this time, so I can't afford a cab. So I have to get on the J train in Brooklyn. Ugh. It's, like, 70, and I'm, like, the guy in the corner with his hood up trying not to be seen. And, you know, by the time I got to, like, Midtown, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just sitting on the train with an attitude. Just, you look at me. You deal with it. You deal with this. Get there. I check in and they're like, who sent you here? What are you talking about? All right, come on back. We'll see. And like, I had to hear the nurse fight with the doctor because the doctor didn't want to do it. He's like, I'm not doing it. So I'm not. And she's like, could you at least look at it? His nose is on the side of his face.
Oh.
And the doctor comes in and he just looks at me and he just gives this look like, ugh. And he sits the seat back like so disrespectful. He climbs up on me. Like literally he straddles me, gets a good push and just,
ugh.
Oh. And gets off of me, throws a tissue at me and a bottle of Afrin, and he just walks out in fucking disgust because he knew my nose was now fixed and I was
Afrin
going to
was
pay
the name of the nurse.
Nothing. And I was surprised. It looked pretty good. I never needed to go.
And you paid. And you paid nothing for all of it.
I paid nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. I gave all fake.
Why do we need universal healthcare room? We can just walk in unidentifiable.
Yeah, that's what homeless people do. They go in there to get. You ever see homeless people there? They're just trying to get. Admit it so they could get eat.
Dude, well, they should just get arrested then. I was in the hospital one time and this guy came in, obviously like pain med seeking, and was just screaming like, I'm in pain, like over and over, and they couldn't shut him up, and other patients are in bed like, can you please stop? And it was a fucking nightmare, dude. Nightmare.
That's why I understand, a nurse is actually a shitty job. Like, a lot of people there are steering people, oh, you can be a nurse, you can make money. That is your life. Mm-hmm. Like, that is your life every day, and you're dealing with, like...
For sometimes, 18 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, and at weird hours of like, oh, I work 3 p.m. to 11:30, and it's like, that sucks if that's your life. 6 days out of the week, you're dealing with that.
Yeah,
while everybody else is like home watching TV.
And doctors, they do that thing where they like are working and they have to be in the hospital for 24 hours because they're like on call. So they go to like little closets to sleep, you know, and then you get like an hour sleep and you're woken up and you have to go to the emergency room because someone has a fucking knife in their neck and you're like, oh, okay. And then you're just dealing with this emergency. It's insane.
Now that
man.
I think about it, that's probably why that guy was pissed off at me. If he's in his sleep room.
Exactly.
And he's got to fix some black dude's nose who was fighting, who's not paying for this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not what I went to medical school for.
So when you go in and you are like, okay, I don't have an identity. Like, how do you deal with that and not feel some form of guilt?
I guess I'm a sociopath. I don't know.
How do you keep up? Don't they keep asking you your name or your date of birth or anything? And
you
just go, I don't know. That's what you say?
No, he gives an alias.
Yeah, you just have, you know from
And what, you go,
John Doe.
My ID's at home. I lost my wallet. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I can say I was robbed. I can say whatever. Like, it's not really, like, you got to also understand the people that are asking
information. Yeah, but if you say you're robbed, the police have to show up for a report.
Right. But, like, for that one, I told them I was in a fight, you know, and that the police had came. We already dealt with the police. I opted out of the ambulance ride because I didn't want that
ambulance bill.
Ambulance.
I thought you were saying aspirin before, and that's why you're like Afrin.
Ambulance.
I thought Afrin was aspirin.
No, Afrin's the nasal spray.
Oh.
Now, Dave, when you went in, did some large black woman go, he needs some milk?
He needs some milk.
I don't know.
So, do you have an alias? Shannon,
edit that.
That's like your go to?
Huh?
Do you have your go to alias?
Yeah, I have.
Famous people use aliases in hotels. Blacks use aliases at the hospital.
I have go-to phone numbers, emails, and names for like just about every situation. Because it's like people can't move forward without that. So
why
like,
don't you just use your real information?
Because then they spam you. Like, I don't want the bill, one.
Then but then just don't pay the bill.
Then that's when you're
or credit. Pay it off in small increments.
Ian, I've got a 722 credit score.
It took me
nothing sticks.
That's
to
pretty
me.
Good.
For you. Yeah, Happy Black History Month.
He's also got a 7-year-old and a 22-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, take it back.
Yeah, but dude, you can like I paid off an ambulance once. I think the bill was like $500. I paid off like $10 a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So like,
I'm happier with the $10.
What name do you use in restaurants?
Huh?
When you go to
he's
a restaurant,
he's not gonna give us his alias.
What name do you
in
use?
A restaurant? I would just use cash, but like, like
cash. What do you mean cash? Oh, that's the name you use, cash.
Yeah,
table for cash.
I got a table for cash.
Cash, shit, nigga. Cash.
I would get so caught up and like forget which date of birth see, I gave or like whatever, and I would just
now
be like,
we. But
look, I
also,
don't have insurance. I'm sorry, please help.
But you also have to understand, like, and I talk about this in my act. I grew up in a family where people were doing that all the time around me.
Mm.
So it's something that I learned as a kid that, like, you know, yeah, false information. You don't give that. You don't give that up. Like, you know, it was a
well, that's
lot
what we
of,
used to have to do for the insurance company because we couldn't get insurance because all our fucking problems. So my mom would have an insurance adjuster come to the house and be like, go to your room. If they ask you any questions, I do not do this. You don't have this problem. This isn't going on. Yeah. And I would be in my room, like, rehearsing lies.
Like, dude, I used to have to... I used to have to hide in the shower, and
what?
When my mom had a boyfriend that was on parole, and when the parole, this is back when the parole officer used to come to the house to collect urine and shit like that. So I used to hide in the shower and, you know, pee in a cup for her boyfriend.
Oh, Dave.
Right.
You've been to some shit.
So it's like, it's that kind of, you're seeing that kind of manipulation and falsifying where there is no moral, there is no morality that this is wrong.
Now,
this
what
is
do
what
you
the people
pass on to your daughters?
They're probably picking
clean
up some
urine
of the same. they're probably picking up some of the same shit. You know
do
what
you,
I mean?
Do you now? How would you feel if they did the same thing? Would you be like, "Good, I'm proud of you. You're learning
oh my
the
God.
Way,"
my,
or are you like, "No, the right thing to do is to X, Y, and Z"?
Dude, my kids are such manipulators, and it is it is scary because some of the shit that they're doing is genius.
Like what?
And you can't really celebrate it. But you know, like, that's what you're going to need to be okay in this world. So, like, the punishment, I'm going to punish you because I have to.
Uh-huh.
And I can't address that I'm proud of you for that.
Ah, see, I don't know if I could do that as a parent.
So, like my youngest is 8.
Her name's Manipulation.
It's Persuasion, okay? No.
That's a really good thing. Persuasion's a great black name.
Oh my God.
But
P apostrophes SWAY.
So we got a washer and dryer.
P-U-R-R.
Like I do in steel shit. Like every Saturday you gotta get up and knock your laundry out. You're not just gonna sit around and be a fucking bum. So you know what I mean?
That's good.
She hates the folding up the clothes process.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I'm leaving for a show and I'm like, baby, you gotta you know, to get your clothes out to dry and fold them up. And she goes, all right, I checked that the clothes are still wet. So I don't know what happened. The dryer maybe didn't dry them all. All right, let's go start the dryer over. Let's see what you did. So she moves all the knobs around. I have no idea why she's doing all the knobs, but I watch her. She gets it back to where it's supposed to be. She starts the dryer. We're good. I'm on my way out the door. I stop by the front door, and I'm looking at an envelope or something, and I hear the door to the dryer open, close, the knobs move around, and then the dryer start again.
Did she throw water on her clothes?
She changed the setting to fluff no heat so that the clothes would not dry. That way, whenever we go check your clothes, they're what? Always wet and she doesn't have to fold them up.
What? Why does she just do it?
Right. She doesn't want to do it, so she's trying to figure out a way to get it. Get
it's not
out
manipulative.
Of it.
That's stupid.
Well, she's 8. So, but she's already thinking of how to get around the system and what she can sabotage, and it's intentional. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh yeah, I know exactly what that is. It's not a learn. I don't. It may be learned, or it may just be inherent. You know what I mean? And it just may be, you know, what we do. Like same way you negotiate.
Yes. When I knock.
They also negotiate, but it's spelled differently. Hold on, guys. Let's take a second real quick to talk about our brand new sponsor, Omigo. Omigo creates life-changing bidets that are incredibly easy to install. You don't need to get a new toilet. You don't need to have a plumber come over. All you have to do is attach Omigo's seat to your old toilet, and you have your own luxury bidet. They sent one to the studio, and in 15 minutes, we had it installed. Everybody was waiting in line to try it. Guys, I'm a bigger gentleman. I'm a little self-conscious sometimes about hygiene stuff. I do not feel fresher and cleaner in my life than when I use a bidet. It is a life changer. If you got poop on any part of your body that wasn't your butthole, would you be satisfied with just wiping it off with a piece of paper? No, you would want to wash it off with water. And that is what a bidet
does. You get to sit on this thing, have a little water grow up your ass. You feel like one of those clowns at the carnival, and your balloon's going to blow up out of your mouth. It is the best. So instantly turn your toilet into a heated seat bidet by getting an Omega. Think about it. You wash your hands and hair with water. Why not treat your ass with a little respect, too? Plus, a bidet will stop you from walking around with an itchy asshole all day. You have to check it out. They start at just $69. You're going to use this every day. It pays for itself. You and your partner, anyone at your place will be impressed. You're going to want your friends to come over and shit at your house. You're going to tell them, hey, come here, drop a log, feel clean, know that I'm living a better life than you. Keep 2020 going with a better bathroom experience. Guys, just check them out at myomigo.com/gas. That is myomigo.com/gas, G-A-S. That's myomigo.com/gas, myomigo.com/gas to get 15% off your order. Guys, your asshole is going to thank you. The person you love is going to thank you. And the person who loves your asshole is going to thank you. And I'm going to thank you. Thank you. All right, let's change gears on that.
That's
that. Oh, man.
Figs, you got a story for us?
No, it's not a good story. It's not as cool as that. It's just why I'm late.
Why? What happened?
A train fucking hit somebody and ripped them in half.
What?
And today was the first day I saw a dead body.
Nice. Whoa. You've never seen a dead body
I've never
before?
Seen...
This story started with somebody tripping, by the way, and he's like, fuck, I gotta live up to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. That motherfucker got cut in half, yo. No,
I mean, I've never seen... So
wait, it blows my mind when I meet people out in the world that have never seen a live, like a live dead body, a dead body.
He's from the Bronx.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've seen a guy foaming. I saw
you're not you're not counting funerals.
Not counting. Oh, not counting funerals. No. Uh-huh. No. This is the first time like live. Like this guy's dead.
Move and
like life leave their body.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm just on the train. I'm texting Shannon. I'm like 40 minutes late. Well, this is before whatever. And it's at a standstill. Next thing you know, you hear, oh, there was a police investigation ahead. This is the Metro North. So they're like, give us a second. We got to go around the train. So, okay, whatever. So we go around the train, and everyone is kind of looking at the train to see what happened. Like, what police investigation? And you see nothing at all. Go all the way. Then I hear the people in front of me gasping. I'm like, what? And then you see the front of the other train covered in blood. Okay? So I'm like, whoa, what the fuck happened? And as my eyes start to
deer.
Go to the left.
A deer.
Yeah, how do you know it wasn't a deer?
I didn't know what it was. I just see a giant. I just see blood. And then as my eyes start to go like to the left, like, okay, well, that's weird.
It's you Dave standing there with a broken
Dave
nose.
Dave there, broken nose. And the Afrin.
Yeah.
And half a body. Half.
What half?
The torso.
Okay.
It's like, I couldn't see like the head, whatever. He was black. But I can. No, just kidding. No, you see, like he was yellow. You know, black people have yellow hands, so it's kind of like I'm not sure if it was yellow or not.
What?
But it, you know, like black women got yellow. The bottom of their feet are yellow. You guys don't watch Black.com? But anyways, so I'm not sure what the culture was.
You know why that is?
Why?
Because.
Are you gonna take your cock out?
God makes him go like this before he spray paints.
Jesus. Where did you get that street joke?
That's such a little kid joke.
Dude, that's such an old joke.
Oh, God.
Do you want to hear the worst black joke I've ever heard?
Okay. All Black right, History Month. Let's go.
Jesus, to celebrate Black History Month, this is the worst black joke I've ever heard. Why do black people have flat noses? Because God had to put his foot somewhere when he was ripping their tail off.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
But I thought we were sharing jokes.
I heard one when he said, why did so many black people die in Vietnam?
Why?
Because every time they yelled, get down, they would get up and start dancing.
That's crazy.
Dude, you know what's so fucked up? God. There's so many like black street jokes, like Chinese, whatever. I've never really heard like a white street joke. The only white street joke I heard was like, what's 13 inches in white? Nothing. That's it.
I've never heard that one. I have a long
time. What's a Jap's favorite, like Jewish American princess? What's a Jap's favorite wine? You never take me out anymore.
I've heard that in a Jewish way. What's the first Jewish wine?
I want to go to Florida.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. How do you make a Jewish girl cry twice? Oh. Fuck her in the ass and wipe your dick on the curtains.
All right. It's like a whole new level.
That's so Jersey.
Dude, oh that get down joke is
I don't have any white.
I got a I long black
That's the thing. There's like no white street. Because I feel like whites are the ones telling them.
Yeah.
Actually, the funniest time ever, I was trading Black Street jokes with Chloe's dad.
Yeah.
At like one of our barbecues.
I'm not proud of this, but I used to visit the website slipknot.com to just read black jokes because they were hilarious to me. So,
the band?
Yeah.
Huh? The band's website was slipknot1.com.
Wow. And Slipknot was like a
Slipknot
joke
is just
site?
this rebel, like
no
it's a
way.
It's a Confederate, like real rebel website. Yeah. And
Shut
they just
up.
Have one page, it's just all black jokes.
No,
I think it's actually nigger jokes. I don't
That's
even think it's black
hilarious.
Jokes. They don't even hide it. You know what I mean? And I think that's also why I am the way I am. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I
sitting at this table.
a traitor?
Yeah. I got desensitized to that shit early, though. I mean, like, there was a lot of racism in Philly, so we all experienced it. You know what I mean? And it was just nothing new to me. It was just became something that was always around. So it was just like, I don't take anything serious. So I don't take that serious either. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm. It's just funny.
That dude, I'm glad. It's so funny to imagine Dave yelling at his daughter to like do your laundry, and he's just on reading black jokes. He's like, I know you're not getting your clothes wet, and he's like, why is it? Why, how do you
get down?
Yeah. How do you fit a black in an oven? Blah, blah, blah. Like, what?
That's literally I knew jokes like that before I knew I think that it was even wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. And
like I was too
like
young
that
to process.
And dead baby jokes.
I was too
Those
young to process.
Those were like the
hatred.
Street jokes we would tell. And it was never jokes. A thing of like, oh, we hate this thing or like black, we don't like black. It was just like, this is so funny because it's so wrong.
Right, right.
And you're just saying awful things to make your friends
laugh.
Because
you know what's so crazy also? Like we knew those jokes young. Dirty jokes, sex jokes, and this is like pre-internet. You know
right.
what I mean? So some but adult like, was sitting down and either children were within earshot or you were actually like teaching the kids the joke.
Or older kids.
But they have a book of like the 100 like most dirty racist jokes and they have a whole section of like Chinese, black, Jew, Irish, you know what I mean? But like as a black dude, when you're hearing these fucking black street jokes, are you like, oh, I can't believe it? Or are you like,
no.
ha, ha, ha.
He spray painted me.
I'm not feeling that way. I've talked to other black people and I get how and why they feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wired that way.
I don't feel anything other than
like the logic of the joke and where the punchline is.
I got into this weird wormhole of watching blackface videos.
Jesus.
Oh, and I thought one was so funny of these two like just like I'm hungry. They were like, you get the west side of the chicken, I got the east side of the chicken. I was like, what the fuck? So then I watched this thing of like the history of blackface and like why it's wrong. It came out after Megyn Kelly was like, why can't we just paint our face black? You know?
Right, right.
And there was this whole thing about like a lot of blackface started out of like admiration and like curiosity for like black people because or like
I don't know if that's true.
Dude, yeah. But then
admiration.
It got morphed,
minstrel shows?
But then it got morphed to like making fun of them and everything. But a lot of it was just like it was so foreign to them that they were like, what are these people? We can't get them to act in our thing, so let's just act like them and be in the thing. You know what I mean?
It was almost like going to the circus.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. You think that...
Did I just defend blackface?
You
Fuck.
Think that they reached out to hire black folks first?
No.
And we said no.
No, I think it was like just such a fascination with like black people that they're like, we don't understand these...
Well, I definitely get that, especially now today with like even modern white folks with the whole like, can I touch your hair? Or can I ask
right,
this?
Right, right.
I get that white people are just curious.
Yeah.
And that curiosity is offensive to black people. Like, I think I might have some problem where I'm a bit void of emotion. Because I was just thinking about that even while I was walking here. Like, seeing people with dogs. Like, you have a cat that you hug and,
yeah,
you know,
and kiss them.
I don't do that. I don't have that. Like, a cat can walk up to me and I'll just be like, ugh, get away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have that in me to cuddle with a dog.
Mm.
I don't have that in me, whatever that is. So maybe that's why I don't react to racism.
That's weird.
I think it's healthy.
No, I see, I like that because you get that it can, like, roll off your shoulder. But to make it a thing of, like, this is... going to ruin my day forever. It's like, well, that's not gonna like help.
Yeah, anyone. I don't know. I don't know how people get so triggered or why. But dude, when so
I had, remember me when I had my long curly hair, mm-hmm. I would get asked to, if people could touch my hair all the time, and it would always be by black women. Because they'd never seen like curly white hair like
that. Dude, when I have my hair spiked up, do you know how many black people ask to touch it?
Yeah. You know how many black people like cut, like love my Native
Are
American tattoo?
Are you guys offended by that at all or no?
No, I like, love it. But I'm also a thing of like, I'm very into like hugging and talking to strangers.
Yeah, we're not
so like,
normal
I don't
people.
Mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's different. Like, I don't mind people in my space. Sometimes.
I mind if somebody touches me that didn't ask first.
Yeah.
That really freaks
yeah,
me
yeah,
out.
Yes. Yeah. But if I get ask, like, yeah, yeah. I'll be like, why? But I don't find
Do you
it...
let people touch you when it's spiky?
If they ask.
As long as they ask.
Yeah, if somebody touches it when if they didn't ask, I flip the fuck out.
Yeah. Huh.
But I, which is I like feel, a problem.
I feel yeah. like we're all so curious and we're such a self-segregating society that like there are segments of the population. Like those Staten Island. When I was a teacher, there were kids that never left Brooklyn. Ever. 18 years old. Never got on a train and went to Manhattan. You know what I mean? So they had never been like around... different types of people. And there are people in the Midwest that go to LOL that have never been around like a Hispanic person or whatever. So it's like a curiosity. And then people just get the unmitigated confidence to be like, can I touch your hair? Which is like, you shouldn't do that. But I think it's like a racial thing. I think yeah. it's a complete curiosity of like, what is this yeah. different thing I remember, I'm experiencing?
I remember Chloe and I were in like Dubuque, Iowa. And we were like in a casino just like,
oh my God,
having drinks and shooting right. pool. And I just, it was... There were so many people who made it a point to walk up and be like, I like this. I like
yeah.
This is nice, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And because we were the only two people.
Right.
The only, now there may have been some more black people, but like there were midgets in there for a Bud Light promotion.
Shut
that
up.
Were getting less attention than Chloe and I
so
shooting
funny.
Pool. Like there were midgets dressed like
those guys are getting all our attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I was dating a black chick and fucking people come
what,
up to
Tennessee
us.
What, is Tennessee here today? Yeah, what's going on?
follow the yellow brick road. It's a color of their hands. I was dating a black chick and dude, fucking strangers would come up on the street and be like, I love that. Interracial, that's great. And I'm like, what?
I had the opposite when I dated a black chick. I would have black guys come up and try and take her from me.
Nah.
I would have
mind if we dance with your dates.
She had purple hair and like a septum piercing.
Yeah.
So I think they thought I did that to her.
I had the kind of upbringing where I was groomed to do that. Like if I was in Philly and saw someone like you walking down the street with a black girl and it's like me or three or four of my friends, yeah, we're grabbing her ass. Just to try to get a reason to beat on you. You know what I mean? Is a weird thing.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
I know. I was around a lot of people that just did weird
shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was weird because I didn't necessarily agree with it. I just didn't do anything to stop it. It's just like, oh, this is what we do. You know what I mean? So, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now it's weird that I'm like not in that environment and I have all of this weird programming that is useless outside of that zip code. You know what I mean?
Do you ever forget sometimes and just turn to your group? You're like, all right, we're going to jump this guy, right? And everybody's like, no.
Well, that's where a lot of my comedy comes from because it's like I see shit where I'm like, wait, nobody, we're not allowed to say that? We're not allowed to do that anymore?
Well, that's the thing, dude. All of us from Philly, it's like you're the black diverse thing that it's like, oh, this is great for our show. We need a nice black, and then you have the black experience. It's not like I'm into video games and you know
calculator watches
aggressive. Yeah, you're like I grabbed a bitch on the street because that's where I came from. People are like we don't like this diversity
I talk about that
but
like,
you're black, you can't be bad,
right? It's like it's weird. I'm like it is insane that you can't catcall anymore. Like I'm here in a world where you guys are saying that's the rules and I hear that but like
that's where you came from.
And I can go back to that in a heartbeat and show you where that exists.
You
know what I mean? So it's like fascinating to me where it's like, okay, how do you guys plan on keeping these worlds separate?
It's like
forever?
Metal gymnastics.
Huh?
It's metal gymnastics.
Right. But that also keeps me grounded and understanding like there are multiple schools of thought geographically.
Even if a girl is hot. Like, if you saw a guy with a hot chick and you were your boys, you would still kind of... Because, like, in the Bronx, I would cross the street. Like, I would see guys on the stoop, like, four or five guys, and I'm like, I'm not going to walk past them with my chick because I know something's going to happen. I'm going to cross the street.
Really?
But see, and even in my head, I'm like, fuck, I'm being a bitch, but I'm also like, I can't take on
but
four
you're
guys.
Aware
Are you a bitch or a survivalist?
I'm a bitch.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But see,
you're right. That's... But yeah.
How would the girl feel? Would the girl be like, you're a bitch? Or she'd be like, thank you?
I would make an excuse. I'd be like, oh, look at the Utz. Do you want to get pizza? Like, right. I would think of something. Like,
wait, constantly eating?
You're aware that that's a thing.
Every block you stop for food.
Wait, you got to go to Western Union? Let's just go there. Let's go to Western Union.
But you're aware that that's a thing.
Like, I didn't mean to say there's that's fucked lot, up because no, I know.
But there's
exactly
a lot of
what.
People who aren't aware that that's a thing. And right. that's the part that gets me where I'm like, how are you not aware?
Well, that's the thing.
That
is that racist to cross the street because you don't want them to yell at you for your girl? Or is that, like Zach said, like survive? Or is that just being realistic?
What's I would say man? It's being realistic. Like,
right.
I wouldn't, if I was walking past a stoop where, okay, like, I know my friends, okay? So if you put me, Reggie, Derek, and Monroe on a stoop, you guys know we're harmless, but if you didn't know us, I wouldn't walk near that group of niggas. Like, it's just, that's reality, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it depends on what you're wearing.
And one of you would grab for the girl, and I'd be like, you shouldn't do that, and then you don't call me a faggot.
And then here's the thing, like, how many times have we stood in front of Fat Black with guys like, you know, well, I'm not going to sit there name drop, but we'll yell shit at people going by. And yeah, we're just yeah. having fun, entertaining right. ourselves. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? So there are some people who would view that as I was harassed by these hooligans.
Right, yes, like, right, right.
No, we're just a bunch of dumb comics with no spots and no money.
Yeah.
And this is how we're passing the time until we can get on stage. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of survival, a little bit of racism, you know? Because if I'm walking by and I see a you know, a tall feller, you know, dark black guy, and I get close and I realize, oh, he's African, like African, I'm not worried. But yeah. if he's like got his pants low and got a, you know, if I look, oh, wait a second, then I'll be like, oh, shit, let me just keep my guard. Like, let me look at the person. But if it's African, I'll just keep going on my phone.
I do the same thing, though. I do the same thing with black folks and any... Like bald-headed white guys with, you know, those chunky fighter ears.
Same
like
thing,
I
yeah.
keep an eye on that
crazy
guy.
White dude with a hoodie, homeless right. white dude with a hoodie walking by, and I'm like, oh, this guy's gonna be
or
a fucking drug addict.
Even when I'm out in a bar, like if I'm at an event like Skankfest, I'm watching the guys that are drinking, you know what I mean? I have yeah. to be aware of who's a problem, who might not be, and that's just
that, that could be a concert, that could be anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's the same thing, like...
It's also, like, survivor. Being smart. Like, yeah. no matter what, I feel like you should always be walking down the street and look over your shoulder every fucking 20 steps, every new block or whatever. Like, whenever someone...
Oh, my God, is that a black guy? No, it's my shadow.
So,
20 steps later.
So what kind of... Okay,
I think that's just being street
kind of,
smart.
Yes,
what
I agree.
Kind of Asians would you have to see for you to be like, ooh, what? I'm not fucking with that? Like, is there a group of Asians
yeah, yeah.
that
the
you
fucking,
would cross the street?
They could literally...
Asian teens would say the N-word.
They yeah, could have yeah. both arms in the air with one foot up. And I'd be like, whatever, queer. I don't give a shit.
Cool triad guys.
Zach,
cool
Zach's walking by
fucking...
a Jabberwocky. Yeah,
like, I definitely would cross the street for a pack of drunk white women. Drunk white women
oh,
in front of a bar.
Yeah.
I'm crossing the street.
Because you don't want to deal
like
with
that. Or
annoying.
Like that frat dude that's like, high five.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you won't
yeah.
high five.
Yes.
I just walk. No. I'm like, get the fuck
guy,
away.
That guy's a misunderstanding too. Yeah.
Or
it's
a group
survival.
Of Jews that are asking if you're Jewish and want to pray. And I'm like, I know I'm going to get
love
it.
I love fucking with those guys.
I know I'm going to get it.
So oh, I think
I like fucking with those guys.
I think one out of the four of us has that problem a lot more.
Oh, all the time. I'm haggling. They just come up like, good work, my son. Yeah. I don't know. How do we even get into this?
All right, I think...
Well, someone got hit by a train.
Body, yeah.
A dead body on a train.
And then he knew he was black because of the hand. Yeah, the spray paint joke.
Real-ass podcast where racism trumps a dead body on a train.
I know,
what?
Right? No. But I feel like that was a nice, constructive talk on race.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I agree.
Yeah, what? We got somewhere.
Majority is survival instincts that get confused for racism. Oh, you're fucking racist. No, I'm just street smart.
Yeah.
Right?
Literally the first joke.
When I yell the N-word, I'm trying to survive. What? It's survival. Sorry.
I do it, but it's like the underwater levels in Sonic when he needs the bubble.
Dude, there was a video of some woman that said the N-word, and they interviewed her, and she goes, I just got anxious. And that's so funny to imagine someone with anxiety just like,
yeah, I mean, this is weird because I was like, that's the thing. Everybody says it, mm-hmm. right? I almost don't trust people who
yes,
say they don't
I
say
agree.
It. They, like, the
if you have a pet, yeah. and no one's around yeah. if, and you do not call it the dude. My poor wife does not know a lot of racial Bet. slurs. Like, she's not heard them.
She called our cat a jigaboo for a month because that's what I would say, get out of here, you little jigaboo.
Jesus Christ.
She thought it was a term of affection.
I'm going to be honest. I have a cat and I'm alone with him all the time and I've never done any of the things you just
said. You are not like
I've never called an animal a racial slur.
You are not cunt whore, you bitch. Like, you are not
getting everything you can get out of being a pet owner.
Dude, when Christmas, I'm like not a fan of Christmas carols.
That's how I celebrate Christmas.
But I do just randomly insert the N-word into Christmas carols. And it's just like how I tolerate it.
Oh, but that's the best thing to do. To put N-words in any song, it's great.
Yeah, for no reason. Just nigga bells. Like, I don't know why. And I can walk around the house and do that all day long to myself. So I know white people have to be experiencing that joy.
That's just a silly goose time. That's just fun.
But it comes with that fucking word. You know, that, I don't know, dude. I'm not giving out passes. I tell you that. I don't ever go. Dave said it was okay.
I ain't taking them.
Zoom in on me right now. I didn't give these motherfuckers a pass. So.
Dave gave me a pass card like when you go to a coffee shop. You say it 9 times, you get the 10th time free.
I'm okay. Whatever. But yeah, y'all got to deal with the consequences behind that shit. And
I have fast pass like Disney.
And the same way I was in my old zip code. If some black people are stomping you out for saying it, I'm rolling with them. I don't know why. Like, it's just what I'm doing.
Zach had a great time on the podcast, Zach. Yeah, stab that fat motherfucker. Fuck him. Zach, that was really funny what you said about the spray tan.
Fucking fat motherfucker.
Ian, thanks for taking over. I appreciate it. Lewis came to be here.
You stupid gay.
What you gonna do, Dave?
In a heartbeat, because I'm a follower. I'm a goddamn follower, people. Don't you understand that?
Like, it's easy to follow.
People
it's hard
should,
to lead.
The answer when they said is,
the right thing's not
if all of
easy.
Your friends jump off a bridge, would you do it too? The answer should be yes for everybody.
Why?
Because we're all
be alone?
Fucking followers. Yeah, no one wants to be alone. We're all followers.
I wouldn't jump off a bridge.
We're all following trends.
See, I'm different. If everyone was jumping off a bridge, I'd blow my head off with a shotgun. Because I'm unique.
What?
But anyway,
the hardest part about that would be finding a shotgun that had balls on it.
the eye shift was hilarious. The way he processed dealing with that.
Hey, Real Ass Podcast fans. Real quick, if you like sex, you'll like BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Guys, don't you want to go extra rounds, last longer? Well, Blue Chew makes the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And because it's chewable, it can work up to twice as fast as those two. You can take Blue Chew on a full or empty stomach, and it's cheaper than the other two. It only takes a few minutes to fill out a form online with no weird doctor visit, no awkward conversation, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. Blue Chew chewables are prescribed online by a real doctor and made in the USA. Blue Chew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. And we've got a great deal for you guys. Just visit BlueChew.com and you get your first order completely free when you use the promo code RAP. All you got to pay is $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code RAP. You get your first order free, $5 shipping. Guys, everybody here at Gas, we get our Blue Chews. We're laying dick down to our ladies, gentlemen, what have you. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Chew it and do it, and a happy Blue Year.
All right,
I'm
so we are.
Place. Continue.
What, about 40 minutes in and haven't done a story yet?
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
No, that's great. That means we actually had fun.
Yeah.
Before we get into anything else, let's do some plugs real quick.
Oh, my God. Wow. Plug 40 time. Minutes to plugs. That's plug amazing. That's why I like this show when we do it. We do things a little different here. Lewis is jumping off a bridge. We're blowing our heads off with a shotgun.
Yeah, I like it.
We're a different kind of show.
Thanks. What do you want to plug, baby?
White Plains Comedy Club, Saturday, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. shows. That's about it. Follow me at Comic Mike Figs. I'm going to be on Kevin Brennan's podcast later if you want to come to that intimate studio, the comic strip. Weird.
Okay.
Temple, what do you got, baby?
Comedian Dave Temple. Listen, people, DaveTempleComedy.com is the website. Guess what? It's up, Real Ass Podcast fans. Yeah. Doesn't Lewis owe me some money for that shit? It's up. It's fucking running, okay? There are dates and they're going live. Tomorrow night, the 20th, we start Unpopular Opinions at our new location, Offside Tavern. It's the place where we find out guys like Zach have the programming that they do. That's why they do the material that they do. It's a free show, 9 o'clock, 137 West 14th Street, okay? Also, the 21st and the 22nd, I am recording my first special at the Comedy Works in Bristol, PA, okay?
Sold out.
Come on out. Saturday show sold out. Is sold out. There are still tickets available for Friday. Go to DaveTempleComedy.com right now. Click the links. There are a few tickets left for Friday. Be in the building. Be a part of this taping.
Guys, if you are listening and you are within a drive to Bristol and you do not go to that taping, I will be personally mad at you. Dave is such a good friend of the show and such a good friend to me. Make sure you sell it out.
Yes.
But I'm really proud of this hour. This is going to be funny, man.
It's going to be fire.
Yes. It's going to be so good as compared to his last hour, which was shit. So, everybody, March 7th, Zach and I are going to be in Poughkeepsie. Laugh it up. March 7th, Scott Chaplin just added because every fucking chick comic we got dropped out.
Yeah, every girl comic there got hired to for the third spot. Was like, yuck.
Yeah, yeah. They got paid more money for a different gig. They're like, nah, I'm taking that instead. Anyway, Lamb it up, Poughkeepsie. I'm excited. It's going to be fun. Me and Zach are taking over. It's going to be a good time. March 7th. And then I am all over. I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio at the Columbus Funny Bone with Dave Attell Thursday, March 19th to Saturday the 21st, and then I'm going to be in New Hampshire, Laugh Boston, Woo Ha Ha Comedy Club, Vermont Comedy Club, all through March and April, Wisecrackers, American Comedy Club San Diego, Comedy Works Saratoga, IanFinance.com, iAnimal on Instagram. Come see a show, smoke a cigarette, and if you have good hygiene and you're tan, I'll blow you.
Nice. Fantastic. Nice.
Which eliminates the majority
nice
of the fans.
Nice incentive, though. Yeah. Nice incentive.
Yes. Yeah, nice. Get a spray tan, shave your ass, and then we might have a good time.
Buy tickets to my balls. Show, and I will suck your dick.
Dude, it's,
you smell good.
I had a threesome in D.C., and ever since then, because I talked about it on like the radio and another podcast, I've been getting messages that are like, if you come to my town, fuck my wife, da-da-da. I'm like, I guess this is going to be my thing now.
Ask the universe, fuck, and it shall give.
I know. All right.
You're at about that age.
What?
It's about weird
what, where I where get I AIDS?
I like
I'm at AIDS age.
You about that AIDS?
I'm like, are there any cops about that AIDS? with a special about AIDS? Maybe I'll be the new AIDS comic.
Yeah, you get AIDS and they give you a special and then you don't really have it.
Put me on Ellen. Now I'll go to the stand and eat all the food and drink a lot. Oh, cancer, bye-bye. I'll disappear later.
The next time somebody opens a good comedy club, there's a silhouette of you on the stage. Guys, you know where to find me. Twitter and Instagram. Zach is not funny, even though I'm currently not allowed on Twitter.
What happened?
Shadow ban.
Can't log in. Had my I was taken off of Twitter for tweeting Dana Schwartz that she was the biggest bitch in the whole wide world for saying that South Park affected the minds of men in this country.
You just called her a bitch?
No, I tweeted the lyrics to Kyle's Mom's a Bitch, but with her name in it.
Uh-huh.
And I've been taken off of Twitter.
That's ridiculous.
And I can't log back in.
Sounds like she reported you.
Sounds like it got 100 retweets. I think she did.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can see me every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on the Real Ass Podcast. And please check out Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show every Friday at midnight. Comics talking shit while we watch a movie. Black History Month has been a blast. Dave was on last week.
Please go back and watch the Killjoy 2
episode. Killjoy 2. And then I got Derek Gaines on this Friday watching 2013's Ooga Booga.
Ooga Booga.
Oh, shit.
Which is exactly what you think it's going to be.
Look, Ian had to come up out of his phone. What is that?
Is that just Dave living in this old zip code?
And Capital Wrestling every Saturday at 11 a.m. here on Gas. If you're listening live, we are doing a taping this Saturday in Brooklyn. Come out and have a great time and see some great pro wrestling. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's look at some stories real quick. All right, I'm looking at fire officials warn of viral TikTok outlet challenge. I want to know if this is real or if this is something kids are saying they're doing. I don't know if it's like a Tide Pod kind of thing. What do we know here?
Wait, what is this?
Give me 2 seconds.
Sticking forks in the outlet or something.
Yeah, it's an article. Fire officials warn of viral TikTok outlet challenge, which I would assume is putting something metal in an outlet.
Yeah.
Fucking, it's over.
Let's see.
Kids are all lost their fucking minds.
Well, it's not all of them. It's just.
Yes.
How old are these kids? I love how society goes from like teens of the future to like teens of the dumbest motherfuckers ever. Listen to Greta, but everyone else her age is a fucking retard.
So what is the challenge?
Okay, so kids have been putting in like your Xbox, your iPhone charger, and then you put like a penny on the exposed charger half in the port, and it creates sparks. So kids have been doing this, and I think there's a picture down here of, yeah.
So this is kind of like when you put a CDR in a microwave?
Kind of, similar.
Okay, can we see a video of it?
Hey, give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, let's see.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like people's houses were too well baby-proof. Somebody has to get shocked for them to learn because they never experienced this. Mm-hmm. We got this out of our system at like 3-4 because, you know, we didn't have the things.
Who's this we thing? What are you talking about?
He's talking about like the baby-proofed outlets.
Our generation, like we fell down steps. We stuck shit in the outlets. So they never got
I remember outlets always being open. Now when I go to people's houses that have kids, there's like a little plastic thing. Yeah. In the outlet.
Oh, so you think that makes them want to play with it more?
Because they never experienced
it. No, it's that they've never been near it and somebody went, hey, don't do that.
Yeah. They never got burned by the fire.
So to them, it's a new discovery to be like, oh, shit, you could do that?
Social media challenge. Here's a YouTube video the state fire marshal sent to all departments. There was a similar incident in Holden, and a student at Westford High is now facing charges for starting a fire.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, they're definitely all old enough to tell like, not to do that.
Go on your phone and fucking Google, don't do that. Like, what happens when you do that? You're going to get fucking executed.
But as a parent, you've almost got to feel retarded if your kid does that.
Mm-mm. They never learned it, dude. It's like if
But it's your job to teach them.
No, because there's some things that you just wouldn't learn. So it's like, all right, if you were to get, have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
No.
And if you were to get on right now and accidentally pull the clutch all the way back and just take off, you're going to get fucked up. But it's just you
never. But that would be funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But you what a viral video. You just never got that programming to even know stay away from the throttle. You know what I mean? And that's what we're looking at right now.
By the way, any picture of me on a motorcycle looks like there should be another one of me on a motorcycle next to me.
Yeah, from those guys that were chasing Michael Jackson on the scooters.
Yes. Love that. But as a parent, don't you have confidence in yourself that your child would know?
As a parent, don't kids like almost kill themselves daily just on naturally? And as a parent, don't you have to go, don't do that. Don't turn that on. Mm-hmm. Stay away from that.
Yeah.
And I feel like these people know that. It's not like they're like, oh, what is this thing I've never seen? It's like they're intentionally doing it. It's just like eating Tide Pods. It's just like another fucking dumb challenge for teens to do.
It's like.
Also, is this real or is this like Momo where like two dumb kids did it and said it was a challenge?
I feel like I feel like they're traps.
Or like the white power symbol where like 4chan made this up and now it's a hate crime.
Yeah. Like I feel like it's almost like the way to kind of pull out the dumb people now. I feel like challenges.
Darwinism?
What you mean?
Darwinism is like weeding out the stupid.
Did I say? Oh, yeah. I think that social media is doing
only
that.
Only like the strong survive.
Right. By issuing challenges. It's like everybody is attached to a phone. So like if your phone issues a picture or a video of you doing this thing, they go, okay,
you
that
should
one's,
be drawn and
that
quartered.
One's an idiot right there.
Yeah. You should be rounded up and murdered.
Don't give them access to any valuable information.
Vaccinate them immediately.
Right, right.
Yeah. If you believe you have 48 viruses on your phone from going on Pornhub once.
Well, let's not get too
and you click that
ahead of ourselves.
Because like last Monday, we were doing the broom challenge, and I feel like, that just, a lot of people just marked themselves to whatever
was that
information
real?
System.
My why girl we, tried to do that,
people
and I
did
was
it.
Like,
why don't we do the read a book challenge?
Right.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Where videotape teens reading.
Right.
A broom can stand up on its own every day of the year, just so you know.
Yeah. But
oh, shit. Look at that.
Thanks for the hot take.
My girl's an idiot.
Right. And had she done a video of her,
she's like, it's not working. What's wrong with my house?
Then they mark her. They know
that
she's
people thought that had to do with like the gravitational pull of the earth.
Someone tweeted that NASA said this and they all went with it. And that's where we are. No one checks any information. So that's what I'm saying. This could very well be,
dude,
someone said this and everyone was like, holy shit, I've never.
Yo, I messaged Chloe the other night because she posted a thing that was like, Henry Ford stole the car from a black car
maker. I saw
that,
yeah.
And they've been stealing everyone back since.
Yeah.
circle of life.
Like, it's a well-crafted racist joke.
Here's the thing. So I just did a cursory amount of research, and I looked it up, and it turns out they both were producing cars, and that he didn't steal anything. Ford used the assembly line, and this black car maker made them by hand, so his business went out of business because the assembly line took over.
Yeah. Chloe's computer is set on a different setting that even feeds her.
Plus, the black guy's cars took so much longer to make because he had to, like, put the dice in the mirror, draw the flames on the side.
He was the first
white guy started that. Wait a minute. I'm not letting you get that.
Cholo started
that. White guy started that with the hot rods in the 50s, man. Come on.
But it's like that thing of, like, we just see something, believe it, and no one does any amount of research. Like, this is the truth.
I've been yapping about this on stage the past couple of days. Like, that whole rumor that coronavirus is started by people eating bats is such a funny rumor.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that the other night.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. You know what I mean? And it's people accept it because it's like it's a microwave idea. It's like a microwave answer.
Yeah, but there's videos of Chinese people eating bats, so why wouldn't you believe it?
Yeah, because I refuse to believe that the same person that makes iPhones goes home at the end of the night and just chomps on a bat.
Why would that's all they can afford to buy?
They make two cents
an hour making an iPhone. Do you think they can buy a meal? No, they grab a bat and bite its head off.
See what I'm saying?
But it was like
it had fancy plates in the video. Is that racist or realistic?
Different dipping sauces.
I don't think that's realistic at all. I don't think that this
also,
realistic.
Also, it's just Chinese Aussie.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. That's hilarious. Like, because it's right up there with the AIDS started by a gay guy fucking a monkey.
Well, that's the thing. We were talking about the
Yeah, I've seen these videos. Like, I think these are like the challenge videos.
No, I think this is.
Yeah, they're in a nice, place.
Dressed
with the chopstick holders. That's a nice spot. That she's not poor. Look at that miso fucking bat soup.
Like, it's so weird that they would present it that way. It just seems like
you think it's fake.
I can't fathom like they give us chicken in the format that they do, and they won't spruce up bat. Any kind of way.
Yeah, but if you walk through a fucking fish market, it's like the crazy. It's just culturally. People in different cultures eat crazy shit.
Yeah, okay. And I think they're more likely to eat like fish with the head on.
Yeah. So like to deny that there's a segment of the population in the world with the amount of people that there are that they're not eating crazy shit is like mental gymnastics. Like, yes, they're eating bat, but did coronavirus start from that? I don't know. Just like, did AIDS start by a black guy fucking a monkey?
It wasn't a black guy. It was a gay guy.
Africa.
Gay guy.
Africa.
Gay guy. Black. It was one of you.
Africa.
One of you.
Gay.
Gay. Gay.
AIDS start. I looked it up. Remember, AIDS started because somebody hunted a monkey and then chopped it up to eat it and got some of the blood in their blood, and that's how, like, it started. But then the rumor was like, oh, it was a guy fucking a monkey. So it's like, maybe they didn't get it from eating a bat. Maybe somebody fucked a bat.
It started because God was giving a punishment.
just like the Ninja Turtle started because TGRI dropped ooze in the sewer. Like, I get it.
TGRI, what a reference. Holy shit. I have not heard that in years.
But, I mean, it's insane. It's insane. Like, I get it. It's a rumor. But
they've been eating bats forever, though.
You think so?
Yeah, they've been eating bats and slugs and shit.
I've never been on a bus.
Anybody eat a bat?
I've never been on a Chinese bus without a Chinese person eating a bat.
I have never been on a bus and had a white.
Have
black
you ever
or,
ridden Fung Wah bus?
I've never been on a bus and had a white, black, or Latin person take a hard-boiled egg out of cellophane and stink up the bus.
Okay, yeah. But
Asian people pick weird things to eat publicly.
Yeah.
White
people,
I said that
white.
The whites wait. Like hard-boiled
white
eggs.
People.
Yeah,
are
but not the ones that stink up the
curious.
Bus.
Naturally curious. No,
by the
white
way, that is we're figuring out a way to steal your culture.
No, white
that's something we have learned on this episode that white people are curious.
Yeah,
yeah, and some of us are bi curious.
So like. There's a lot of white guys here in the studio today. Odds are someone has to have tried bat just off the curiosity
what?
Of white guys.
Okay, first of all, insane. You're saying that because they work here.
Oh, yeah.
And no one in there has tried bat.
Nobody, none of you guys have tried bat. Ian, you're traveling around. Would you eat bat? You eat at Wohop all the time.
I probably have eaten
There's
bat.
There's no bat available at Wohop?
No,
You've
dude,
never
no.
asked?
This is such like a niche thing, but different people in different cultures eat shit.
But we're
like
talking
this.
About Chinese people. And you're telling me if Chinese people eat bat, there's no Chinese people in New York that are still eating bats? It's just left in that one
area.
No, I'm sure there are.
No
one's sneaking to eat bad. Like, I hear these rumors that, like, WoHop has a separate menu for, like, real Chinese people, and they know, like, yeah, I don't get the American shit, I get the Chinese shit.
Well, it's a different palate.
Okay, have you eat at WoHop all the time?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it seem like there's bats down there?
No, but at WoHop they serve soft shell crab, literally a whole crab that you eat with the shell. They do that in certain places.
But
other
you
places
can't
people
jump
would
that
scoff
because they're
at
having
that.
Crab that they eat bat. We're talking about whether or not.
But
they
eating
bat.
A crustacean with a shell is a weird thing.
It doesn't
that
indicate
only
that
certain
you
cultures
eat bat.
Do. So it wouldn't be a leap in logic to go, well, if they eat that, eventually down the line they're gonna eat a fucking bat, they're gonna eat a mouse, they're gonna eat a rat.
It wouldn't be a big leap,
but I don't think
but
it's
it
like
is a leap. It is a leap.
Wait, what are we even talking about?
You know, we're talking about eating bat. You're bringing up crab and crustaceans and shit. I'm asking
no, people,
you.
They got corona and people are like, oh, that's because they fucking eat bats.
Right.
That's how it
I
all started.
I saw a video that, of an old accent. Chinaman fucking
that,
a chicken.
That is the accent.
That's
accent.
Might have gotten
that's the Chinaman.
Where were you
keep
on
eating
were
bat.
You on Slipknot.com? Of course you're going to see those kind of videos over there.
Yeah, I was trying to look up good black jokes, and I see a Chinese guy fucking a chicken. I'm like, what? Get me back to the good old-fashioned black jokes. You know?
The joke was, how do you break a black man's heart?
How? Wait, how?
Took me a second. You see a chicken getting fucked.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I get it.
I didn't even catch that one. That's hilarious.
Oh, that's, thank you. Wow.
The whole corona thing, like, if that's super not... There's something crazy going on over there that we're not.
The videos,
you see the
of,
videos
people
of people
with blood
coughing.
Coming out of their mouth. Is that corona? There's like a video guy on a bus. He's like, oh God, and his blood coming out
what?
Of his mouth.
Have you seen video? Have you seen videos of the military police dressed in hazmat suits dragging people
yeah.
out of their
yes.
homes? It's like, okay, I don't think it's correct. There's like some theory that it's like political dissidents and they just ordered all these containers to like throw people. It's like, what the fuck is
it
that?
It does look like
well,
they're
weren't
building
they out
mass
there,
graves.
Like in
right?
China, they were like rumbling for months, right? Like, what was that like Hong Kong or one of those places where they were like fighting the police
Hong Kong,
because,
oh,
they,
yeah.
because
they were
months. And now all of a sudden there's a lot of people dying and there's like a virus that we need to get rid of all of these people. Like,
right.
yeah. But they were fighting for something for months.
Hong Kong.
By the way, this is the beginning
like,
of Resident Evil. Like,
yes. Exactly.
It's kind of exciting.
It's,
but yes.
It's so scary.
They all have the T virus.
Did you see a cruise ship got quarantined and the comic snuck off to go do a gig?
What?
So a cruise ship got quarantined because somebody on it had been exposed. And they, I think they were quarantined for like 2 weeks. And the comedian on the ship.
Ken Boyd.
What?
No, I'm just naming
Bob
the comic.
The comic on the ship snuck out of the hotel they were all quarantined in.
Shut
to
up.
Go do a gig.
Where?
I can't remember. He was a comic / motivational speaker.
Oregon comedian.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. Yeah, go down.
Shut the fuck up.
Who have been stranded on a Holland America cruise ship in Cambodia due to virus concerns, broke quarantine in a hotel where ship's passengers were being held pending test results. Frank King arrived at the SeaTac Airport Monday afternoon on his way home to Eugene, Oregon. He was a performer on the MS Westerdam, where their 2-week cruise turned into quite the saga after a former passenger tested positive for the virus.
Well, the comedy bubble has burst.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think he went to do like a suicide prevention gig or something, like as a motivational speaker. And they said his logic was, well, it's been 2 weeks and I don't have any symptoms. But doesn't that virus take a while to kick in?
I'm not doing the research.
I don't know.
I'm not taking in any of the info. So maybe that's my ignorance.
Wait, why are you taking in any of the info when you're talking on stage about the coronavirus?
I'm not talking on stage.
I thought you were talking about how...
I wish that it was bigger, yeah. Because I what? Feel like we need a problem.
I thought you said you were
problem.
Yapping on stage about corona.
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh.
I just say it needs to be about bigger.
Oh.
And I move on.
Oh. Hey, man, that hour.
All you motherfuckers need to get corona.
Dave,
anyways.
Dave, that hour is going to be great.
What are you guys researching your jokes before you put out? You're not just yelling out?
You're not just ignorantly yelling? You fucking
no, it's that we've gone to Chinese food places and got something other than wings.
Yeah.
Dave's just going to Chinese.
Dave's the one eating bat, by the way. You're eating bat and fried rice.
Eat that chicken wing.
Let me get those special Chinaman wings.
Yeah, let me get the Bruce Wayne special.
Let me get a China wing. You got those Chinese wing. Special menu, right? Let me get a wing.
Yeah, can I get a Batman and a Robin? Dude, I don't know, man, but it's very creepy how all this shit's going on in China, and it the numbers are just, they're just like, only 300 cases, everything is fine. Yeah. And then you go to like not state sponsored media, it's like thousands upon thousands are dying. And you're like, what the fuck?
Well,
nobody knows the truth on anything anymore.
Well,
the bodies exhibit next year is going to be balling. all right, before we go, let's do one more story. FIT apologizes for clearly racist runway attire.
Oh boy. It just looks like someone did the Kylie Jenner challenge.
That's what I was going to say. It looks more like that.
Yeah, it's not like she has paint on her face. Can you scroll down? She doesn't have paint on the face. It's just, if she had white eyes, maybe. It's not a good look.
She looks like Chris Kattan. You know that character, Chris Kattan?
Mango.
Yeah.
Mango.
I racist mean, alumni fashion show. Well, they shouldn't have had a racist alumni fashion show.
Well, I write about this, and so the guy that did the fashion show, I think he's Asian and is like out of touch with, like, because if you go to China and you're black, you're like a celebrity because they've never seen black. So this guy, I think, is from that culture and didn't see that this would be a problem making people dress like fucking apes or whatever, and then they try to make a black model dude. She's like, I do not feel comfortable doing this.
Is there more pictures, or is it just that big red lips one?
I think there's more pictures. I don't know. Do you think that's racist, Dave?
What?
This?
I guess so. I don't know.
I think it's fucking, they should nuke fashion shows.
I think you do your research about this, Dave?
No, you know what it is? It's a weird thing to hold on to and keep getting.
Yeah, but if anybody's going to get upset, it's college kids.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I don't have the energy to keep focusing on.
You got
to
raise fucking kids.
Yeah, I got to focus on what happened 100 years ago and draw the conclusion and be like, I'm supposed to be offended by something I really don't care about.
Do you think all this shit's happening because younger people have access to all this, but they don't have like real lives?
They don't have anything else to care about.
Yeah, they have kids, their family, or like a hard job, so it's just like figuring shit to get mad about.
Right, that's why I want coronavirus.
Yelling at your kids about laundry, they're just yelling about some monkey face.
Yeah, they have nothing to do. They're bored.
Do they have other pictures, Shannon, Dylan, Derek?
No, that's the only one.
What? I saw different pictures, I thought.
What are you doing?
Looking at
Put up Slipknot.com real quick.
In that fashion monkey face porn I was watching, I saw many other pictures.
I saw a different picture. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's
like where it. What is fit? What is fit?
Fashion Institute of Technology.
And they're here in New York.
In New York, yeah. So they do like weird fashion shows where they like, we're wearing a garbage bag to bring awareness to the plight of the homeless in society, and they're like, well, that's.
But you know what this feels like? Yeah. This feels like also I have to do something controversial because no press is bad press. And everybody is, no one will admit that that's the game that they're playing now.
My only thing, so when you see the picture that he just had up, I don't think he's making fun of a race. I think that's almost like a Mr. Potato Head type thing where you just picked parts that don't look right together. Right.
Yeah, like, look at that. And then, but then they tried to make a black model do it, and she was like, this is racist. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I think that's like, because you know how, like, if a comedian goes viral for doing something stupid, we all see it. Mm-hmm. So, if anything, even though the rest of the world might be like, fuck you, you're a piece of shit, in your community, everyone who appreciates what you do saw it. I think that's 100% what this is. Everybody in the fashion community sees this, and they go, huh. Also on the outside, really. Like,
yeah, but look up
that?
The quote by the guy that did it. He seems like he's like, I think he was like Asian, like a Chinese fashion designer.
Oh, well,
that
that's
had
it.
Like
eating back.
He. Yeah. if you look at the guy, look at his name.
He said between bites of bat soup.
look at the. Look at the guy who made it. I swear, what I read, he like. Defended it as being like completely out of touch. They don't even mention the guy.
Yeah, no, this is the
is that the Chinese FIT guy we're talking about?
That's the FIT president, not
yeah. Look at the fashion designer that did it.
That's the guy who defended it.
Yeah, that's not what we're looking for.
No.
We're looking for the designer.
We're looking for the fashion designer that did it.
He's like, you do the reading.
Oh, I can't. Okay, so my question would be, so now if you're a fashion designer. And that's your thing. How does that benefit monetarily? It's not like people are going to pay to look like that. Like,
Mm-mm, it's not no, about
it's like
that.
A statement. It's just, they're not trying to sell anything.
When you go viral for something, it's just to make an impression.
Okay. They just won. Just we're talking about it right now. Right. Boom, they won. They got their. They right. got what they wanted.
Okay, the show is directed by Jonathan Kyle Farmer, an FIT professor and chair of New FIT Fashion, produced by Richard.
See, Tom. Look, created by a recent FIT graduate from China who did not appear to understand the racial overtones of his work. The original concept called for highlighting ugly features of the body. So okay. It was just an out-of-touch dude and that was see, like, this, and again, it's like a culture that has no idea what's going on, and then it mixes with this culture of hypersensitivity, mm-hmm. and I don't think the guy was being racist. I think he was just a fucking really, out-of-touch idiot.
Yeah, it's like the kids that are sticking pennies in the thing. They just never were exposed to that to know, like, oh.
But the funny thing is, apparently the woman was like, you need to, she was like, I'm not doing this. And the guy yelled at her, was like, you need to get over it and get out there. Yeah. Like, he didn't even understand. He just wanted her to go out and
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Just so fucking out
because
of touch.
Because that shit is, that was some talk about, like, I don't even necessarily have to agree with this agenda, but I can understand it. That sensitivity is in the way of what this man is trying to accomplish. And what he's trying to accomplish isn't hateful. He's doing a goddamn fashion show, and you're stuck on this one little thing that, you know, maybe it's not a little thing. I don't know, man. But that's a weird thing to be in your way. Something that, you know, you have to hold on to from the past.
All right. Well, I think we had a hell of a day, guys. I'm going to call it now. How are we on time, Shannon? It's about that time? Fantastic. I want to thank my guests, Mikey Biggs, Dave Temple, my co-host, Einan Finance.
Einan.
Please welcome to the stage, Einan Finance.
Love you guys very much. Thank you for tuning in. I believe Big Daddy Louis J. Gomez will be back on Friday. Well, until hey, then, I hope he has a great vacation.
This is a good show. Thanks, guys. Let's all kiss. Fun. What?
I was late. I got to do something. I saw your penis already.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. We'll see you this Friday on the Real Ass Podcast.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.